RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
We got college football coming up. Browns have one more game to go. And how about the Cavaliers bouncing back a little bit last night? Jeff is off today, and Tom Withers is in. I'm Andy Baskin. Hi, Tom. How are you?
Hi, Andy Baskin. Good to see you.
I love your Blocko hat that you're wearing today. I know Jeff has a thing. I always have to remind Jeff that we're on the radio to start the show because he always wants to talk about what we're wearing. Right, Dan? He's always talking about what we're wearing. I'm like,
he's so fashion forward, that Jeff Phelps.
He is, man. He puts the Munsk in Munsking wear.
Yeah, I had to go to the Blocko today. A little Buckeye love here on the eve of the game. So
yeah,
eve of the game. Yeah, so here we go. I'll be honest, I'm a little nervous.
You're nervous,
and by nature, I kind of am, just because I've been through so many of these, you know, great Buckeye seasons with better teams that have fallen short. And you know, after watching Miami, and I'll be honest, and I'm a much bigger college football fan than I am NFL. I watched them probably a half dozen times this year. Yeah. And earlier this year, and we're going to have Tim Reynolds from the AP on later, who covers the Canes. I remember saying to him, I feel like it's Ohio State, Miami, and everybody else. And that was before I was an Indiana believer, even though I think Alabama's going to get them on Thursday.
I think so too.
Yeah. So thanks. Yeah. Go Bucks.
All right. We'll get into that in a little bit. I do want to start off with what I think everyone's talking about in town still as we kind of get towards Sunday, the last game of the season.
Guardians free agency?
Yeah, it's exactly what we were talking about because, hang on.
Micah.
Okay, good. Man, it's amazing. I was thinking that.
Men against something, isn't he?
You are great, man. I got to tell you that.
Mastermind over there.
It may or may not have come up a couple times in the coming days of people going, so are they going to do anything?
Yeah, I don't know. Hang on. Lottery winning tonight? All right. See what you did. Okay. See if you did anything for me. All right, so now you look at Sunday's game, and it pushes you into this other world. Jeff and I talked a lot about some of this stuff yesterday. I really want your perspective on it, too.
By the way, one quick thing.
Sure.
Pass interference on the final play?
I don't know.
I don't either.
Jeff was going off on it yesterday. Like, oh, we really got lucky on that, blah, 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 blah.
Well,
what I couldn't understand
about
is...
About time we got lucky about something.
Well, yeah, I mean, why didn't the Steelers try to throw down the middle of the field?
Yeah, their play calling down the stretch was awful, and obviously I wonder where DK Metcalf was watching that game, but it was it was borderline. They allowed them to listen. They let them play physical most of the game, so you got to be consistent with that if you're an official, right? So there was contact. There's no question about it. I'm not sure he was going to pull it down, whether or not Denzel had grabbed him upper body or whatever. But anyway, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to.
No.
That's actually
not off track because there's a number of questions I could ask you about that. And one of the questions that I thought was interesting that came out of the game on Sunday, as I just try to think back on everything that happened, that there was this notion, and I felt this watching the whole game, that Pittsburgh's offense was 100%. I shouldn't say 100%, but it seemed to be so worried about Miles setting the record.
No doubt.
But Tom, is that us being Clevelanders on that? Because I called a couple of my friends that are Steeler fans, and we have a lot of fun. I go, because I don't watch every play of every Steelers game. And, I had two guys say to me, you know what? The Steelers are just that bad and that their wide receiving core is horrific.
I think that's part of it.
And so that if he gets the ball out that quick all the time, Aaron Rodgers, then so be it. That's the way it was. But to me, as I was watching the game, I was like, man, Pittsburgh forgot that if they win this game, they're in the playoffs, and they're more worried about Miles getting a stupid sack.
Yeah, I don't know if they were more worried, but I think there was definitely an element to it. And, and Miles talked about this on Friday, and we've seen this for years, right? There's no team that goes to the lengths that it goes to, like the Steelers to prevent him from getting to their quarterback, whether it's, you know, Bubby Brister or Aaron Rodgers, right? I had to pull
a good Steeler name from yesterday.
That was clearly part of the game plan, was to not allow him to get the sack, which is just stupid. Now, again, this is a very flawed Pittsburgh team. That's not a very good team.
No.
They've got a better running game than I think that they realize, and they don't utilize it the right way. You know, Muth didn't make a catch until the final drive, and then he gets two in a row, right?
Yeah. I think he ended with three on the day, though. I think he had one early. But I was looking for him the whole game, and I was like, where is he?
And they obviously missed Metcalf, which was, you know, a huge blow to them. I'm still waiting for there to be some kind of reprieve, and he gets a one-game suspension and comes back this Sunday. I don't know. That's just part of the conspiracy theorist in me, and that's not a big part of me.
I mean, if you think things are scripted, I mean, they couldn't have been scripted any better. You got yourself an AFC North championship game, which how often does that happen?
Yeah, and it'll be interesting to see whether or not Lamar comes back and whether or not the Ravens want to play a 75% Lamar Jackson over
why wouldn't you, though, to get in the playoffs?
Oh, I think you have to.
Without a doubt.
Yeah, and I know people think that either Harbaugh or Tomlin could be done at the end of this year, and who knows? But, yeah, there was a lot to unpack from Sunday's game, and I know we want to talk about what this means going forward, and I don't know if the result had a major impact really on anything, Andy, only because there's just so many layers to this, right? We still don't know who the decision makers are going to be, you know, beyond Andrew Berry, right? Who is going to be making this call? I thought Shadur accounted of himself very well. I saw some more progress. I saw some more problems. I think this idea that you can make a definitive answer that, yes, he's our franchise quarterback going forward is far-fetched, to say the least. I think anybody...
But why can't people... They're like, Shadur fans like can't understand that this is like just... Part of this is just reality of being a rookie quarterback.
Well...
And that, you know, some of the things that are going to happen are going to happen to him because he just doesn't know. Like, the one interception that he threw...
it's as bad an interception as you've ever seen.
I mean, it was the definition of a rookie interception.
Trying to do too much, et cetera, et cetera.
And right? I get it, and I understand it. But then when he talked about it in postgame, it was kind of like, you know, Colorado, I kind of felt like I could put it up there and my guys could get it. Well, this isn't Colorado, and those defensive backs are a hell of a lot better than the guys you saw in college. Well,
and to your point, the touchdown is all Fannin.
Yeah.
I mean, that ball needs to be intercepted. And if you saw it, Jalen Ramsey's reaction, he's looking at the safety going, dude, you got to pick that ball off. I mean, that thing was a duck, and it just, you know, sat up there. Fannin made a nice little in cut. Unfortunately, and I was so afraid of this, Andy, after I was out of practice on Friday when he tweaked the groin.
Yeah.
And I just knew, given the field conditions on Sunday, that the first, and any of us that have pulled hamstrings and groins and calves through our lives can appreciate this. It's when you first push on it, the hardest is when it goes. And that's what happened to him on that play. So anyway, there was some good.
I would let him play center field anywhere, though. If you ever want to play center field, man, he could judge a ball that was fluttering either way.
Exactly, in that wind as well. So it was good, bad, and everything in between, which has been basically how you could, you know, say what most of his six starts have been to this point, right? So, and as far as Stefanski is concerned, you know, reading the tea leaves out there last week, you know, this, you know, Kevin and his staff are operating, I think, under the assumption that they're going to be back in 2026. Now,
isn't that the way you want it?
It's the way you want it, and it's the way you have to be, right?
Yeah,
Andy, right? I mean, but, and I will say this just from the standpoint of being around here for the last 27 years covering this team, at this point when there's usually a coaching change, man, you can feel it, right? It's dead man walking in the hallways over there. And I haven't gotten that sense. Now, you know, things could change dramatically after Sunday, you know, Monday morning or Tuesday or wherever, you know, we could be in a coaching change situation, but I don't sense that they're there yet. I really don't. And I do still think that Sunday matters.
The next question then I think for Shadur Sanders' growth is, do you think he's gotten better since the first game he played?
I do, absolutely.
Okay, so the next question to me is why? And is it him? Can we give Kevin some credit? Can we give the coaching staff some credit? Because some of the things he said, and I brought this up yesterday for a little bit, that some of the things that he said in the postgame press conference led me to believe that he is buying into the system and that he understands now and is beginning to understand the difference between college and pro. And also starting to understand that, you know, I've got different bosses than my dad. I'm not belittling his dad. And I would do anything for my kid to try to help them become a better player. And if I was like some, you know, one of the best multi-sport athletes in the history of sports, I would listen to every, you know, but I listen to what he's saying. And I think he's starting to get it. I think he's starting to understand the fact that this isn't my dad's team anymore. I've got to listen to some of these things that are going on. And he may not present it that way, but if you listen to the undertone of some of the little things he's saying, he's starting to get it in a big boy kind of way.
Andy, tip of the cap to you. I think that is perfectly explained where he is right now. I think he finally understood that this is his job,
yeah,
that he's got to take it seriously. I think, you know, and whatever side you are on the Sanders debate, right, I think you would have to appreciate that the reason that he was not getting these snaps early on was that where he was taken in the draft, yes, that there was a very different plan going forward, right? And that he was not, you know, being as serious about this as he needed to be. I mean, we heard all kinds of rumblings about him, you know, in meetings and just, and it's kind of the, you know, he's got a very, you know, casual approach to a degree. And I'm not saying that the kid doesn't work hard. I think he does. I think he puts in the time. I think he knows he now knows he has to put in even extra time,
right,
to get to where he wants to be. But I think he now feels like, you know what? I think there's a belief in him too that, not that there wasn't this at the beginning, but I can do this. I can be the guy. And I know that's what part of what has always driven him. He's a very confident person, carries himself in that way, right? But I think now that he's had some success on the field, translates to the next part of his development is, okay, now I got to go into an offseason where I got to work even harder if I'm going to be this franchise quarterback going forward.
You know, he talked about it at the end of the game too, about like his pregame ritual has even changed. Mm-hmm. And he talked about how he's got to fire himself up before the game to make sure that he's in the place where he needs to be. And I mean, if you go back and watch the beginning of the game and the touchdown drive and the way they were able to get up, I mean, they were up 10-0. How often did that happen this season?
Ball
at
game.
The end of the first quarter.
Ball game. It was over.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah, it is crazy.
I didn't even think about that until you just said
but
it.
But they've been really good, as you know, they've been really good with those scripted plays. They have been. That's kind of a Stefanski staple, right? But
yeah.
I think, but the kid has gone out and executed it, and they've gotten guys open, and he's thrown good balls. You know, the touchdown, and I'm being somewhat facetious, but, you know, he put it up to where his player could get it, and he probably saw something that I would never see there.
At first, I wondered if it was tipped or if it got caught up in the air.
Yeah.
I mean, let's not forget, Kevin decided not to kick a field goal because of the wind.
I tell you what's interesting too about Shadur is sometimes his throws look really good and other ones, man, they look awful. And I know there's tough conditions down there too. It's a wet ball. It's a heavy ball.
Yeah.
There's the typical wind that is associated with any game down at Brown Stadium or Huntington Field. But you know, by and large, Andy, I've been impressed with the kid. I really have. I think he's grown into a better player at this point than I thought back in August or September that he was capable of being. So, you know, kudos to him.
Yeah. I mean, look, he doesn't sound like your typical quarterback, but he sounds like a rookie. Like when I listen to him after the game and I watch him play.
When you cut through it all, I know what you're saying.
He's a rookie.
Yeah.
And it doesn't matter what his last name is or where he is. And to me, because he's a rookie, that excites me.
Yeah.
That makes me think that all of these little things can be corrected. All of these things can make him your franchise quarterback. You know, but it's are you going to put him with, is Kevin the right guy to lead him?
That's
like,
what's,
and I'm
that's
watching this. And I'm watching this through six games, and I know there are, like, if you, when I listen to folks, there are people that love Shadur and hate Kevin. And it's like everything that's wrong with Shadur is Kevin's fault.
Which is such nonsense.
But it's just,
I know.
Unbelievable.
You can't listen to any of that.
And like, I want to hear someone come out and say, and I hope it comes out in one of these press conferences with Shadur or Kevin, to turn around and say, you know what? These guys can work together. And if they do, then we're going to have something successful. I don't know that you need to bring someone else in. I'm also feared that if you lose Kevin, you may lose Schwartz too. And I don't really want to walk down that road. I don't know if they're a pair, but let me just go back to the...
Sure.
Is Kevin the right answer for Shadur? And can Shadur buy into that? Like, I think we almost want to hear Shadur come out and go, you know what? I've learned a lot from Kevin, and I think this is going forward. I think this is... If I'm going to get better... I can see how we're getting better every week, whether it's Kevin or anybody else on the offensive staff.
Here's the problem,
though.
This
could move forward.
He's been schooled not to say that. He's been told basically not to kind of go there because it's just going to open up a can of worms in one way or another. You hear the way that Shadur is careful about the way he answers a lot of questions, right? He either will not answer them or he'll take the question in an entirely different direction, right?
Yeah, and he'll jump on you, too, if he thinks you're trying to bait him.
And listen, and he's entitled to that. I mean, this is the way it works. But as far as... Kevin deserving credit for where Shadur is today. He deserves at least partial credit. So does Bill Musgrave. So does Tommy Reese. So does the rest of that staff. So do the guys that have been blocking for him, the guys that have been making plays.
So, but are we
going to
think about this for a second? Are we going to be another Freddie Kitchens situation? right? Because you're trying to figure out where you're going with the quarterback, and if the quarterback likes this guy, you're going to do this because of that. I don't know. But did the win on Sunday, did it seal the deal for Sanders and Stefanski for being back next year? I think that's one of the things you might want to think about. And if not, do you think they would trade up to get a quarterback in the draft? So we're going to talk about all these things coming up. 216-474-0092. It's Baskin and Phelps with Tom Withers. Obviously, we got a lot of snow last night, so be careful on the roads. It was bad last night, and then this morning I thought it was crystal clear. So I thought it was easy getting in town. Did you have trouble getting downtown?
Not too bad, only because I think most people are at home still, right, over the holiday break. So I think that helps a little bit. And I have to deal with any of that construction on 90, which is an issue, and it's going to be so going forward. So, hey,
am I supposed to criteria for West Side?
Yeah, going where?
Because the East Siders were so used to.
Speaking of West Siders, I got to give a happy birthday shout out to my Ohio State roommate, Billy Plagans, who turns, I think,
how old?
35 today. No, we were in a school together in the late 70s, early 80s at Ohio State, and it's always been fun that he shares a birthday with both LeBron and Tiger Woods.
That's so true. Well, those guys.
Happy birthday, Bill.
They're looking up to him, aren't they?
Of course they are.
He was the
RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
Holiday PSA from DSW. This is a reminder that shoes are a gift, literally. So unwrap something good, like boots that inspire your next big adventure. Or cozy slippers that give you an excuse to stay in. Or sneakers that feel like pure joy. Because shoes aren't just shoes, they're exactly what you wanted. Let us surprise you so you can surprise them. Find shoes that get you and everyone on your list at prices that get your budget. At DSW stores or DSW.com.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
So here's the thing with homemade meals. Eating them is great, but all the chopping and measuring and cleanup, not so much. With new one-pan assemble and bake meals from Blue Apron, you get all the flavor of homemade meals with a fraction of the work. Just assemble the pre-chopped ingredients, bake in the oven, and enjoy. Shop Assemble and Bake at BlueApron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit BlueApron.com/terms for more.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
Original goat.
He is the goat.
Any other birthday shout outs you need
to give? No, not yet. I'm just, I'm still kind of like, I'm a little antsy about this game tomorrow night. I'll be quite honest with you. It's going to be, I think it's going to be a tougher game than a lot of Buckeye fans realize. I think this is a really good Miami team. At one point this year, I felt like it was Miami and Ohio State and everybody else. So we'll see where it goes. But,
all right, we're going to get to that a little bit.
We'll get there. Yeah. I'm sorry.
No, that's okay. I still want to continue on with the Browns here, too, and where we're going with this thing. So, when we talk about where Kevin Stefanski now kind of is, and I thought it was interesting, you said, and I agree with you, like if there was a guy that was going to be gone at the end of the season, with the exception of Chud was like an outlier when he got fired. Remember?
Mike Pettin too, I thought. That kind of came out of, a little bit out of nowhere.
Well,
I didn't see, because
Chud was the one that was really like, why? What?
I know, they just pulled the rug out from underneath.
Yeah, they were on the bus coming back from Pittsburgh, and all of a sudden, I'm like, what? Really?
Yeah. Now, ownership was a little bit different then, right? Mm-hmm. We've talked about this, though. You know, they've talked about exercising more patience as they've gone forward. You know, I think we forget sometimes that Barry and Stefanski got contract extensions, you know, 16 months ago. I mean, there was still a belief then that these were the guys going forward. You've heard Dee and Jimmy talk about how smart these guys are, how they are still learning and what have you, still young in the game, right? Both Andrew and Kevin. So, yeah, I think Monday is going to be fascinating here, depending on what goes on Sunday.
I think I was looking yesterday. He is the ninth longest tenured coach in the NFL. And in that one through nine, all four of the AFC North coaches are in that longest 10-year period.
Right.
And in some ways, on Monday, like all four of those guys could easily be back.
Incredible.
All four of those guys could be gone. Yeah.
We'll split the difference and go two and two.
Yeah. Like, so in typical Browns fashion, it would be the other three would go and Kevin would stay.
It didn't occur to me until Sunday when Jim Nance said that this is his 100th game. I was like, wow. 100 games already. I remember that news conference like it was yesterday.
Yeah.
And then obviously these last 5 years have been strange with the COVID year and what have you. It's just time has turned into something different.
You watched the broadcast. I was there. I didn't. Yeah. Were there any interesting points that came out from Rome?
Yeah, I thought. First of all,
I thought it was crazy that we were the biggest game in the country.
I was stunned, by the way. When I tuned in and saw that there was Nance and Romo, I'm like, wait.
It hit me like I just finished doing the pregame show and I walked by and Romo was walking by and I was like, wait a minute, this is the top game in the country?
Isn't that something? Yeah.
I couldn't believe that.
Well, it wasn't. I mean, you know, Philly at Buffalo was, but
but as far as CBS was concerned, that was their biggest one.
Yeah.
I think it was probably like 60-70% of the country had it.
Yeah.
At that game, I was looking at the national map.
I thought he framed it pretty well in terms of, and he talked a lot about watching a ton of film on Shador leading into the game, which is what they do, right?
Right.
But apparently he had watched, you know, like one of the more recent starts three times is what Nance said. Anyway, Romo came out of it saying, you know what? This kid's got a chance. And I think that's a very fair assessment of where he's at. I think from an outsider's view, we're all maybe a little bit too close to this at times, right? I think as an outsider to assess him and say, you know what? He's showing a lot of the trademarks of a franchise quarterback. He's got plenty to work on. Here's a lot of really good. Here's some stuff he needs to clean up. He's got a chance to be their guy going forward. Hallelujah. I think that's where we're at.
I think every week he chips away at the at that fifth round pick moniker that stuck.
Oh, yeah,
him.
Which I still.
Every game he chips away at that. And people who are like, oh, fifth round pick. That argument becomes, you know, less and less and less. And really that's what he knew he needed to do when he got drafted. He knew it. He knew exactly what he had to do.
And I think we all knew that he wasn't a fifth-round pick, right? We knew all the other variables that were at play, right? His dad, the way he went about the recruiting/draft process. I mean, he was not doing it in the way a normal NFL player would do it. For obvious reasons, right? He's got a Hall of Fame dad who was his college coach. I mean, this is a very different cat that you're dealing with here. So, again, I've been pleased with the progress that I've seen. I'd like to see some more. I think it's still a little bit too early to, you know, crown him as the guy. And again, we don't know who's going to be pulling the trigger on those decisions.
If they win again this week, does that change anything? I don't know what this game means. If you're Jimmy Haslam, I think your mind's made up. Josina Anderson's keeps. I don't know if it's true or not. I keep reading some of the stuff that Josina said that, you know, the Browns management had talked to upper level people around the NFL about maybe perhaps becoming an advisor or
something.
Like, yeah, that's
what
their
they
job.
Should do. That's what people do, right? You want to bring in people.
And there's also, there's an opening there. Paul DePodesta's gone. I mean, it doesn't. You can bring guys in as advisors at any point. Jeff brought it up yesterday that we're talking about Miami's guy. That he could be. You know, would you want another former general manager in the house while you're the current active general manager?
I don't think you'd have anything to fear there. I mean, it would be obvious that he could be your successor, yeah, but that's part of the game. And
that's football.
These guys know what, I mean, this is the way that world operates. It's a little bit different than what we deal with, right, in terms of in the civilian life, if you will, right?
There's paranoia in the workplace at all places when you think you might be getting replaced.
Right.
But in pro sports, it is just, it's over the top.
Which
sometimes.
Is why, though, I have been really amazed at the way these last few weeks have played out, though, Andy, because we haven't heard about any of that. We haven't heard about staffers, you know, looking to leave or, you know, lining up their next job. Yeah, there's been tons of rumors about Tommy Rees out there, and rightly so. He's one of the hot, you know, young coaching commodities in pro football. So, of course, there's going to be a little bit of chatter about him. But by and large, though, we haven't heard about, okay, you know, the obvious is coming. The axe is going to fall on January 2nd or January 5th, whatever it is, and everybody's going to be out the door. There hasn't been that feeling yet, and I'm still not there yet either.
Yeah, thinking back on, I'm not there either. I don't know, and I think there's some Browns fans that are like, he's done. We're done. I can't watch Kevin anymore.
And that's a knee-jerk reaction, too, and that's the passion of the fans, and that's what makes Browns fans so great, too, is that they wear their heart in their sleeve, but you can't be knee-jerk reactionary when you come to these kinds of major decisions, especially with a franchise that has gone through what this franchise has in the last 3 years, never mind the last 30, right? When you think about, and I go to the Westlake Rec Center, and I run into a bunch of people, and I have these conversations where I kind of get cornered, and I find myself having to defend Kevin Stefanski. He doesn't need me to defend him when you think about all that they've had thrown at them in the last couple of years, right? Mm-hmm. Arguably the worst trade in NFL history, right? Obviously charged with then developing two rookie quarterbacks in the same season where you're supposed to win. That's impossible to do. Nobody does that.
And then the hard part for that on there was when they decided to trade Flacco. I brought this up yesterday too, but when they decided to trade Flacco, they made Gabriel the number one at that point. That meant Shador was one play away. And I just, this is the one big criticism I have of the team this year.
Shador wasn't ready.
Yeah. He wasn't ready. Yeah. And so like, if you're going to have two, and I could understand if one guy was a veteran, not giving him reps and not letting him do anything, but Shador should have been ready.
I think in hindsight, Andy, and I think you'll hear that in the offseason. I think that'll be a chance for them to kind of, you know, write the record on that. And they'll say, yeah, you know what? In hindsight, we probably need to think about it differently in the future. Should we be
there? Because we were in a unique situation with two rookie quarterbacks.
As unique as you can have, exactly.
So I went back. I was just trying to remember what Josina had yesterday. And she said, I was told the Browns met with former general manager Chris Greyer and Tom Telesco to gather perspectives and for exploratory talks on potentially adding senior voices per league sources.
So not necessarily them, but potentially other guys too. I mean, unclear, right? I mean, you know, per league sources, you know, I mean, if one of those guys want to say, yeah, I was interviewed with the Browns and I may be hired as a senior advisor, then I put a little more legitimacy into that report. Not to say that she doesn't have sources, because she does.
No. Yeah.
And she's very plugged in the league. Sure. But of course, I would hope the Haslams would be talking to people like that.
It's their
job.
That's
what you do. Yeah,
It's
silly.
But the problem, remember, go back to Deshaun Watson. It was their job to try to figure out how to upgrade the quarterback, no matter who the quarterback was. Your job is to always try to go out and get to be better and do better. And when they kicked the tires on Deshaun Watson,
he said no.
Yeah, and then and before he even had a chance to say no, their current quarterback was completely aggravated and said, I'm out of here, and went to social media. And it was just like... And so then that's how I think we ended up in the position we were. This is the definition of insanity when it comes to what's going on. So just going back to Josina Anderson, because I went back to look just to see what she had today. Yesterday she had something a little bit later. This is the definition of insanity. If you read through her timeline, I don't see anything negative about Shador. I don't see anything like over the top, but I do see, you know, a lot of like, hey, look at this. This was a good play. Look at where you are right here. Blah, 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 blah. She then tweeted, her last tweet is, Browns defensive coordinator Jim Schwartz is deserving of the credit today. Okay. I got no problem with that.
Me neither.
Yeah. I mean, look, they gave up, 6 points to the Steelers.
Great game plan. Yeah.
And then, like, the first response is, yeah, Shador, definitely not. This is what drives me crazy about social media.
Okay,
it's why I can't stand reading it.
Since we're at the end of the year, one of my New Year's resolutions, I'm going to unplug a little more than I have.
Oh.
Yeah, I have to.
I saw you were on there last night about the Cavs, yeah, and that's how some stuff
I do. You know, I don't mind posting, you know, this and that, but I can't, you know, I find myself sometimes just scrolling away and I'm like, what are you doing, Withers?
Let me tell you what the greatest button in the history of buttons is.
Delete.
Mute.
Mute is good.
Mute is good. Because you know, you get, first of all, I'm just telling you, anybody that follows me that swears and drops the F-bomb on there, you're done. Okay. Like, I won't, even if it's a good thing, even if they say, Andy Baskin, you're the greatest.
You have a zero tolerance policy.
I let it go. I'm like, I'm not going to read this stuff. If you can't take 2 seconds to put together an intelligent conversation, not that I don't use that word in my other life.
And listen,
if you really want me to believe in what you're saying and not think that you're a complete idiot,
yeah,
then I can't tell you how many people, and every once in a while, when you get tagged, I see these people that it says one of these people has been blocked. I mean, it happens two or three times a day. Yeah. So,
and I like engaging with
not blocked, muted.
Muted. Yeah, I'm muted. I like engaging with some of my followers too. There's some really,
I do too.
You know, there's some really smart people out there. People have been really kind to me over the years. But it's the ones that come back and just are just trolling to trigger me, and they managed to do so. So that probably just prompted a few more.
Yeah, maybe we'll talk about social media resolutions alone. All right, so would you be comfortable next year with the quarterback room of Sanders, Watson, and Gabriel? Think about that for a minute. 216-474-0092. Mary Kay Cabot joins us at 11. Bill Rabinowitz. He's got the book Buckeye Brotherhood out there. Great stuff about Ryan Day.
Buckeye Bill.
And last year.
Oh, I bet. I'm sure
we'll get into that. It was funny because Ryan referenced it after they beat Michigan. Unbelievable. And then Tim Reynolds from the Associated Press going to give us the other side of the coin when it comes to Miami and this Ohio State matchup. That's coming up at 1 o'clock. Tom Withers is in today. We are just kind of dissecting where the Browns are going with everything that is shaken as we head into this last week of the regular season, and wonder what Monday is going to be like. And will Monday just be another day in Berea where we recap a season, or will there be fireworks?
There's no such thing as just another day in Berea. Always an event.
I don't know.
We love them.
They are a 52-week story. It never ends.
Never ends.
And people are engaged, and they winning, losing, that doesn't really matter. You just can't get enough. And I don't know if it's healthy.
No.
Maybe it needs to be a New Year's revolution. I'm like, I'm not eating candy bars anymore, and I'm only going to care about the Browns during the season. How's that sound?
We have all had an unhealthy relationship with the Cleveland Browns through our lifetimes.
I think the problem was that when we were kids, it was healthy.
It was. It was interesting.
And that's why I feel bad for the generation after mine and then after that one now, too.
So when, as I mentioned before, when Nance brought up Kevin being in his 100th game.
Yeah.
I was just thinking, there's not, in my lifetime, there haven't been a lot of coaches that have coached 100 games for the Browns.
True. By the way, your neighbor, Jim Nance, right?
Why do you say that?
He's got a condo out there in your neck of the woods.
Does he?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
He did. You mean the West Side? Maybe he doesn't.
So quick Jim Nance story, and I'll get the ding out of Dan here at some point. 1990 Big East tournament, Madison Square Garden. I'm sitting courtside. I'm working, and I was so lucky. The CBS seats were directly to my left. So it would be, Nance, Billy Packer, segment producer.
RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
Holiday PSA from DSW. This is your reminder that shoes are a gift, literally. So unwrap something good, like boots that inspire your next big adventure, or cozy slippers that give you an excuse to stay in, or sneakers that feel like pure joy. Because shoes aren't just shoes, they're exactly what you wanted. Let us surprise you so you can surprise them. Find shoes that get you and everyone on your list at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or DSW.com.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
I'm done with subscriptions. Streaming, fitness, razors, vitamins. I've got subscriptions for everything in my life. They lock you in, and half the time, I can't figure out how to unsubscribe. That's why I'm so excited about the new Blue Apron. Now you can get delicious meals delivered with no subscription needed, including new pre-made options. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
AP, blah, blah, blah. So Nance, in between games, ends up sitting next to me. And this is at a time pre-internet when, you know, you couldn't get scores from anywhere. There was a thing in New York called Sports Ticker. I don't know if you remember that or not.
Oh, yeah. So used it all the time.
Yeah. So they would give you the updates, right, on games.
Yeah.
So I had a, you know, what at that time it was like a Radio Shack, Tandy, whatever. You know what I'm talking about?
C-Load, baby. C-Load. Yes.
So, I mean, if kids could only see what we used to have to work on. This is the 1990s, mind you, right?
Right.
So anyway, so Jim Nance is sitting next to me. And we strike up a conversation, you know, hey, enjoy your work, blah, blah, blah. It's Jim Nance, but it's not Jim Nance of today. It's Jim Nance 1990.
Right.
Still a big deal, right? So great guy. Just couldn't be nicer. We were having a really nice conversation. He went to Houston. And at the time, Houston, I think, was in the SWC, right? And so their tournament was going on concurrently with the Big East.
Right.
Anyway, long story short, on my little Radio Shack Tandy, I could get the Sports Ticker updates, and I was giving him Houston updates from like their semifinal against Arkansas, whatever.
Oh, that's cool.
Anyway, we kind of bonded over it. And Jim, I tell you what, every time I run into Jim Nance, he remembers my name. He remembers when we met. It's incredible.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah. No.
So I have the same kind of Jim Nance story, only differently.
Go ahead.
So first of all, like he...
Your turn.
Okay. So I think it was in 87. I was a grip, one of the guys that pulls the cables at World Series of Golf.
Sure.
And he was, I don't know if he was the lead or I think he was on 16. I think he had the monster, was his play-by-play. And I remember as, I think it was a freshman or a sophomore at Kent at the time, and you know, you're just kind of learning broadcast TV and you're trying to learn the whole, you know, how to look normal on TV while holding a microphone and telling a story. And I watched Jim Nance rip off a 2.5 minute history of 16 at Firestone. And I sat there in
off the top
awe.
Of his head.
It was just like, hello friends, we're at 16. And this is what, I watched this and I was just totally in awe. And I was like 18, 19 years old at the time. Right. So now, for the next 2 or 3 years, I got to do this at Firestone, and so I was a grip, and I'd met him, and I was like, "Hi, Mr. Nance, nice to see you." Blah blah blah. It wasn't that big a deal. And then I remember running into him later. I'm trying to think of where I was at. I was on the road covering the NCAA basketball tournament. I happened to walk by him, and I was like, "Hey, Mr. Nance, how are you? Good to see you." I think I was in Montana at the time, and I was your grip at Firestone. He looked at me like I had four eyes. Five eyes. I had an eye in the back of my head, and I'm like, oh, my God, you're a total loser.
Ding!
And I couldn't. But every time I've seen him since, he's always been nice, and he's got friends and family in the area, friends and family in the
area. Okay, so we went, all right. So we got a little bit off the fairway there.
Oh, that's okay.
I'll bring it back here. So
his story is amazing, though. Just let me give you one more tidbit on his story.
Yeah, yeah.
So do you know how he got his first job? It was in his bio. I read this and read some book or something. He walked into a television station in Houston. And he was interviewing to be an intern in the sports department. At least this is the way the story read. And he kind of made his break while he went from Houston to Salt Lake. He was in college, right? Fred Couples' roommate in college.
Houston golf team.
Yes. He went to, I think it was a CBS in Houston, to be an intern. And somehow or another, he ended up in the news director's office. And they're like, okay, you're hired. And he was like, okay, cool. They hired him to be the weekend sports guy in Houston when he was maybe 20 years old, 19 years old, and the news director didn't realize it. He thought that it was some guy that had come in to interview for the weekend sports job there at the time and not an internship.
So totally by accident.
So then he ends up in Salt Lake, and he one day, this is crazy how his whole life has just been really kind of, but he's really good.
Serendipity. Yeah,
whether you like him or not, it doesn't. He's really good at what he does.
He's great.
And so he ends up in Salt Lake, and when I worked in, whether I was at Cleveland or Columbus or even in Montana, I would get calls all the time from network looking for video. So I would be in Montana. They're like, hey, do you have any Grizzly video? Or in Columbus, they're like, hey, I'm trying to find a shot of Andy Katzenmoyer or something like that. And so you would do it and you would send it to him. He got one of those phone calls in Salt Lake. He thought somebody was looking for video of one of the Utes. And they're like, hey, we want to fly you to New York to audition for CBS.
Wow.
And he was like, what? And that's how his whole career started. And he just thought he was getting a phone call from CBS just to somebody was looking for video. Okay, I'm done with my Jim Nantz stories for the day.
No, it was a great one. So anyway, it prompted me to look up, you know, I'm thinking, okay, 100 games, that's a lot for a Browns coach. So Marty Schottenheimer coached 115 games for the Browns, goes 71-44. And the great Sam Mortigliano, 47-50. Only 97 games with the Browns. That kind of surprised me a little bit. So I was just kind of looking that up just to get a sense of context in terms of Stefanski, his tenure.
So what it's Brown, Shafrath, or not Brown?
Collier.
Collier, sorry, not Shafrath. Yeah. Collier.
Yep.
And then Stefanski?
Yeah, in our lifetimes.
Yeah.
You mean in terms of longevity? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, which kind of surprised me, right? Because, I mean, you look, I mean, since 99, as we know, I mean, Crennel had the longest run prior to Stefanski, and that was only four seasons. So, yeah, it's been interesting. And listen, I know there the folks that want Stefanski gone can give you 100 reasons why it should happen. And I would, you know, I could present a few dozen reasons why it should continue. So I think once we get to Sunday, and I was wondering this yesterday too, Andy, you know, in line, aligned with what we've talked about in the past, in the recent past here, I was thinking, okay, man, if the Haslams believe in this guy, could you see a statement coming out before the game on Sunday saying, you know, I think that would probably be a bad move only because it would probably backfire. It's kind of a lose-lose situation, right? It's
either what happens if they put out this great thing and they get
blown out. Away, yeah. So it's a tough spot. Again, I'm.
How would you handle this if you're the Haslams? Like, what do you think is going through their mind right now?
Well, again, I think it gets back to what they said prior to the season, right? Whether it was at the owners' meetings or before training camp, what were their expectations going?
Well, they got more than 3 wins.
So check, they've got it that there, right?
Barely, but okay.
Okay, and you could probably say that there were 2 or 3 other games that they should have won, right?
Yes.
I think, you know, what we'll talk about with Mary Kay coming up here is that...
I think the other factor they're going to say is they had the most amounts of snaps by a rookie by any team in the NFL. All guys that got drafted started this year.
And their rookies are going to lead the league in rookies in passing, receiving, and rushing. Not too bad.
Tackling.
I mean, he's going to be the defensive rookie of the year.
Yeah.
So, you know, what we can talk about with Mary Kay coming up is this team has really shown some fight down the stretch. Now, you know, that's a positive reflection on the coach, whether you like him or not. That's fact. You know, the fact that Joel Bitonio came out last week, and it didn't surprise me to hear him be effusive in his praise towards Kevin because he's like that privately. Oh, by the way.
You think he's done, by the way?
Joel?
Yeah.
No, I think he's going to come back one more year.
One more year he's coming back.
Okay. It's just my gut.
Okay.
Just because he's played well this year. I know he's been encouraged by those teammates of his who have retired that have told him to run it until the wheels fall off. Now, luckily, I mean, Joel is still dealing with a lot physically, so I don't know where he is, you know, in those terms. But he's managed to be out there Sunday after Sunday, and I think that's a real credit to him, and I think it's a real credit to the coaching staff that this team has held together through some pretty stormy weather.
Let's go to Brett real quick. Brett's in Florida. Hey, Brett, how are you?
Great. Enjoying the show, guys. I'm a big fan of Stefanski, and I've got 3 reasons why I think we should keep him. First one, Tom, you mentioned it's Jim Schwartz, and it's a scheme that fits Jim Schwartz. Now, we've got the personnel that works great with him. Second is too early to give up on Shador. We bring a new coach in here. He's probably going to want to start with his own guy. We don't need that. Plus, we may have something in Tommy Rees. And third, I've heard a lot of people saying we need a new voice in the locker room. For most of these guys, they've only heard that voice for a year, maybe two. I think there's only 4 or 5 guys who have been there the whole time. So that's it. Enjoy the show. Thanks.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Yeah,
Brett, those are nice. I think that's really well laid out there. I think those are all very strong points in Kevin's favor. And I think, you know, we can sit here and dissect the, you know, some of the in-game strategy that we saw during the year, right, where you were like, oh, my God, why are they calling that on fourth down? What is Harold Fannin Jr. doing behind center on fourth down? I mean, there's some things you can nitpick. But by and large, I mean, this team is, like I said, it's held together. I know the pre-snap penalties drive people crazy. I know, you know, Kevin doesn't win the press conference, and that becomes an issue with people. But I think
but he doesn't lose it either. He doesn't give a whole lot. That's all. Which is okay.
Which, you know, here's the other thing, too. Again, you know, just like the locker room, things have not been leaking out of there as they have in years past, right?
Mm-hmm.
There's harmony, Which is,
well, and it's also the reason why we're sitting here going, I'm not sure.
Yeah.
Because nothing has been leaked
out. Well, you heard the way Miles talked about how tight this team was after the game on Sunday. I mean, I think that speaks very well to the staff.
All right, I have 15 seconds to get corrected. Lou, what did I mess up on the Lou Nance, on the Jim Nance story?
He didn't. Okay. He didn't mess up.
Okay.
But what happened was, is when he went to Utah, okay,
yeah.
It was an 0-0. Okay.
Correct, which is owned and operated for anybody that doesn't know.
Right.
Yep.
Which they don't have now because of the monopoly and all that. But they sent the request to their weekday guy, man.
Oh.
The weekend guy.
Oh.
And this guy said, hey, man, if they want, you know, B-roll, okay, for the network, they can send their own person out here. He was kind of iffy about it because maybe he got passed over in previous jobs or whatever.
Oh, so the sports director in Salt Lake was kind of a jerk.
Well, the weekday guy, yeah.
Yeah, which is normally
the sports director, but he was their on-air guy.
Yeah.
So he says, hey, man, give this to Nance, you know, because Nance was just a weekend guy.
Yeah.
About, I don't know, 24 grand a year or something like that.
I love it.
So as it turns out, they needed B-roll on McMahon.
Oh, geez.
The quarterback at BYU.
Sure. Yeah, that makes sense.
Okay. So he goes out, you know, he interviews and talks to him, and obviously they had questions that were sent to him so that they kind of directed the interview. They just needed him as the go-between.
Right.
So as it turns out, they satellited back to New York.
Sure.
And at that time, everything was on tape. I think even the Final Four was on tape at that time. So I'm not sure. But anyway, he goes ahead, sends it back, and he gets this phone call. And they said, hey, you're the gentleman, you know, the guy that spoke with them and everything. And he says, yeah. And they said, we want to fly you to New York, because at that time, the Prudential at the Half was going to be vacant. The studio host at that time.
Hey, Lou, I'm getting crushed on time here. I do love the story.
I'm
Thank
sorry.
You for. No, that's all right. No worries. Hey, I appreciate it. Have a great New Year. I appreciate the story, though. Thank you, Lou.
Thanks, bro.
Take
Bye.
Care.
Happy New Year.
That was kind of cool, though. Oh, I love it. Somebody was bad. You got to take advantage of every opportunity. Doesn't matter if it's the NFL or TV. Mary Kay Cabot coming up in just a moment.
RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.